Good morning. Well, I never thought I would be here, right here, like this at all. This is, I'll talk to your kids and our kids all day long, but this is definitely out of my comfort zone in this capacity. Well, we're going to make it through. Amen. Since the beginning of our marriage, I felt my calling was to be a faithful, supportive wife and a loving mother. I still am these things today. Well, I don't know, ask Bryson, but I think I am. Being these things for my family is still my number one priority, and nothing brings me more joy than to support my husband in his ministry and to be Jackson's number one cheerleader. But since we've been here, there's been another strong call in my life. I thought I found my niche my first year here. I began leading a women's Bible study on Tuesday morning, and I became a part of the children's ministry team. Along with volunteering, I really felt like I was helping Fieldstone and doing my all to further God's kingdom. Everything was running smoothly. Jackson transitioned into elementary school, and last year I decided to take a job outside of the home again. But as I continued to serve on the children's ministry team, I started to feel like there was just something more. 2 years ago, during annual conference, there is a service of ordination, which is a pretty big deal. And I think I got my answer there. At the end of the sermon, the bishop asked if there are any people feeling a call to the ministry to please come forward, and they would lay hands on you and they would pray for you. Now, let me back up for just a minute and admit that for the past 3 years, I'd felt this nudging during this service, but I was just too scared to go up there and do anything about it. I had way too many questions. How can this work for our family? How can we both work in the same church together? No church in their right mind is going to hire the both of us. But this year was different. I knew that if I did not go up there, I would be doing myself a disservice, and I would never be truly open to what God is asking me to do. I knew God had been asking me to do something, but I just couldn't hear him through all of the fears that I had. So I went up there, and as I was walking, that's when God spoke to me. God said, "I want you to lead the children. I want you to be a voice for those who don't have one, and I want you to help others see that people of all ages can do ministry." So here I am today, finally answering a call from 5 years ago and showing my love for God in truth and action. I never said I was a quick learner, or maybe I was just stubborn. Either way, I am truly blessed to be here today, teaching our children the love of God and what God has for them, to teach them that they can reach out with their own hands and feet and show Jesus to the New River Valley and beyond. Our scripture this morning is from 1 John 3:18. For those of you who have your Bible, I encourage you to follow along. It's just one sentence, so if you don't want to get it out, that's fine too. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the back over there in the corner. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, please let Bryson or myself know. We'll make sure you get one. Hear these words of 1 John 3:18. "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen." The thing about loving and truth and action is it's going to stretch you. It is going to stretch you. I can promise you that. We try really hard. We pray even harder, and things still don't turn out the way that we want them. We all know what the ultimate truth is, right? The truth is the love of Jesus. But we must put this truth into action by becoming like Jesus for the people around us. Bob Goff, who was the author of Love Does, says we must leak Jesus. In his book, Bob tells a story about a Jeep that he once had. It was his favorite car by far. Even after he completely totaled it, he bought it back from the insurance company, leaks and all. I mean, that Jeep was jacked up. Goff writes, "We need to leak Jesus like the Jeep leaked oil. Imagine if we all leaked Jesus just a little more." That is what loving truth in action looks like. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to leak Jesus. How can I do that, you might ask? Well, for one thing, it's going to be pretty hard to leak Jesus if we're in our comfort zones. Lisa Turkhurst writes, "Comfort zones aren't always comfortable, they're just familiar. It's where you feel like you belong, and where you come to believe you belong is where you will stay. When we are staying with the flow of traffic, we will never rub up against anyone else, and we will also never have the chance to total ourselves like the Jeep and leak Jesus. When I look back on the past 5 years and how I chose not to answer my call, I can see all of the missed opportunities I had to spread the love of Jesus Christ. I was too scared, or maybe just too comfortable, to step out. So I'd use the excuse, well, I do enough volunteering at my church, and it's my own little comfortable way, and, you know, that's enough, don't you think? And so often we convince ourselves into thinking we're doing enough. But what if we took all of that energy, where we come up with excuse after excuse, and instead actually did something? This is what we've been teaching our children with the Nothing But Nets campaign. The truth is, love is always an action. God calls us to live a life of action. You know, when we first chose this year's Children's Sabbath message, I had no idea how stretched I would be. I went into this thinking, well, this is a great organization. Dodie and I got together and we saw how much work had already been done with the campaign. The United Methodist Church had already done a lot of legwork for us, so we knew this would be something we could piggyback onto. And we were going to put it in a nice little package for you this morning. Bryson was going to give you a nice lesson on giving above and beyond our normal giving. The kids, they were going to do some cute little skits. Then we'd take an offering at the end of the service, and you'd have to look into their pitiful little eyes as they looked up in you in hopes that you would give to their dear, sweet calls. And we would end by holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Well, we're still going to do all those things except for the Kumbaya. But I was in for a whole other surprise when Bryson asked me, or rather tells me, back in the summer that I should preach Children's Sabbath. And I certainly had a choice to tell him no, but if you have ever told Bryson no, you know how that goes. He will hunt you down. So because I wanted to enjoy the rest of my summer, I decided to say yes. That was steamroller number one. Steamroller number two just came this past Tuesday. I was putting my dear sweet Jackson into bed. It was one of those days, you know, the one where everything that could go wrong possible did. Jackson was anything but helpful that day. This is kind of how it went. Everything was a joke. Jackson, what would you like for breakfast this morning? Poop. Will you set the table? Poop. How about going and taking a shower? Poop. Are you ready for bed? Poop. All the while, I was about to have the most unglued moment of my life. And of course, this was the day that Bryson's not around. By the end of it all, Jackson had a major meltdown. And he decided that he just had an awful day and nobody loves me kind of day. I was like, what? I mean, you've been silly all day long. And you've basically done everything you wanted to today. And just when I was about to pray, my sweet Jesus, please help me from breaking my child in two for the umpteenth time, that's when it happened. After I so calmly told Jackson that if this was really the only bad thing that happened to him today, it still probably wasn't a bad day. I gave him a nice little sermonette about starving children in Africa, and the next time he wanted to take a ride on the penny train, he needs to remember that, okay? So he looks at me and he says, so the people that we're giving the nets to, if they don't get them, they're going to die? Well, yeah, I told him. He lost it. At 9 o'clock on a school night, he absolutely flipped. "That's so sad," he said through his tear-filled eyes. "There are too many of them. We're never going to be able to help them all." Jackson Smith was now carrying the whole weight of Africa on his shoulders. "Mom, we have to do more. Our church isn't going to be able to do it all on their own. They need more nets. They need clothes. They need nets and books because they don't have any schools to go to. Are you going to help me?" "All right." That's when I said to my selfish self, why, dear Jesus, did you pick this night, the night it was my turn to put dear sweet Jackson to bed, for him to actually want to change the world? I mean, you know, I don't do well overseas. I don't. Do I need to remind you of the last mission trip, Lord? Dominican Republic, no drinking water, lizards in the shower, coming home with a parasite, months worth of panic attacks. Ringing a bell, Lord? Because my dear sweet Jackson wasn't talking about wanting to raise awareness for his cause. He actually wanted to go to Africa and distribute these nets himself. Are you kidding me? Deep down inside, I knew that I had to do, and it's what I wanted to do, because it's our responsibility to teach our children and model our children selfishness. So I knew that if I didn't do this, then I'm not giving him the truth. I wanted, for the first time in my life, to say yes to my child and mean it. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know when your child says, "Hey, can we go hunting for polar bears in Alaska?" We'll see. Or how about this one? "Dad, can I go to China? I've really been studying it in school, and I'd really like to go." Maybe. I mean, that sounds kind of cool. But I knew this was different. I could see the passion in his eyes, and I caught the bug. I wanted to help his dream come true. I said yes, and I meant it. He was loving Africa in truth and action. He was teaching me how to love in truth and action. Isn't it just like Jesus to stretch you right when you're feeling comfortable and getting settled into a routine? That's when he comes along and jacks you up. For us, we have to love in truth and action. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been teaching our students what it looks like. It's heaven, brought down here on earth for all of God's glory to be seen. Our children are learning to help be a voice for those who don't have one, and they're putting truth into action. Nothing But Nets is a great way for us to leak Jesus and be the body of Christ. Please consider to give Nothing to Nets this morning as we seek to further God's kingdom and seek his will for all of us. I'll end with another quote from Love Does. Living a life fully engaged of whimsy or playfulness in the kind of things that love does is something most people plan to do. But along the way, they just kind of forget. As I sit here, it becomes clear that we need to stop plotting the course and instead just land the plane on our plans to make a difference by getting to the do part of faith. That's because love is not stationary. And in the end, love doesn't just keep thinking about it or keep planning for it. Simply put, love does. And that's a wonderful giving, blessing, and sharing. Love invites you to the table this morning.